Our text for tonight is the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 21. Romans 12, 21. Romans 12, 21 reads this way. It says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering into your house. And Lord, opening up your word, and we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us, that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you would have your will and your way in our hearts and minds and in our lives, and that we might truly experience the purpose of life that you created. And we'll give you all the praise for that tonight. We ask your blessings, and again, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is, "Be not overcome of evil." Be not overcome of evil. And we want to take a consideration here of what the Bible says, what evil is. And when you stop and think about it, is what is evil, right? Well, that's easy, I think. If you look at everything that God is, it's everything that he is not. Everything that God says is good, and those things that he says are bad, those are the evil things. And so we want to be careful, because God is giving this warning to you and I as believers tonight, because we still deal with the sin nature. We've been given the nature of Christ. We've been given the Spirit of Christ, and he can guide us into the truth, and that's important. But again, I just want to remind you of something here that I find really quite amazing. Our main text is here in the book of Romans, but I'm just going to go back to Matthew chapter 16 just for a moment, verse 22. You don't have to turn there. You can if you'd like. Just want to remind you when the Lord began to tell Peter that he and the disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem and to be killed and raised again the third day. Verse 22 says this: "Then Peter took him." Now, you know, we're not there. We don't see how exactly he took him, but he's holding the Lord somehow, right? So then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now I think it sounds strong, doesn't it? Began to rebuke him, but you'll hear how it is. Saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord." That's how he was rebuked. Oh, no. He wasn't doing it in a corrective way. It was a shocking piece of information to Peter, and he responded to that shock. He was taken by it, and so he was saying, oh, Lord, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But notice this: "But he turned and said unto Peter." So now that you see, you can kind of get the other motion there. The Lord is turning. Maybe the Lord had his back, and Peter just grabbed his arm or touched his arm, and then the Lord turned toward Peter, and so he's looking at him. But he turned and he said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And so was that good or was that evil? And Peter didn't even realize it. And so he says this. Then he says this: "Have you ever put this together? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." What was Peter filled with when he said that? With the best of intentions, he was filled with himself. And so he says, "Hey, if anybody will come after me." Question: did Peter want to come after the Lord? Absolutely. He wanted to follow the Lord. He wanted to be faithful to the Lord. But he got things mixed up, didn't he? So here's this understanding that I think transpires in the life of every believer, to realize that our thoughts — I know we know it up here and maybe in our hearts — that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. And yet we have to realize that there's that battle every day. And that's what Paul was talking about. When the flesh was being crucified, what he was doing is he was yielding to the will of God, not his. Every day we have to crucify the flesh. That's the flesh. What I want, what I think, what somebody's told me, and that cannot be. That cannot be. If we are to follow the Lord, the Lord says you have to deny what? Yourself. You have to deny. We have to deny. I fight the battle too. Our thinking, our ways, every day. And say, be willing to say, "Lord, ready? I trust you, God, with my life.
You've given me your life. I'm going to trust you with mine. So he said this. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. As a believer, as a child of God, if you will try to say, okay, I'm going to provide for myself and I'm going to do for me, you'll lose the quality of life that God intended you to have. And what was that? The peace that passes understanding, the joy of God, not of the world, and the grace of God and the mercy of God in and through our lives that the world might see. So what does it mean? I want to remind you of something. What does it mean to be a witness for the Lord? Do you think it just means sharing the plan of salvation? Is that really a witness? Is that really a witness? When Paul came to the Corinthians, you remember we saw this last Sunday here. He said, I didn't come to you with enticing words or words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in the Spirit of God and in the demonstration of his power. See, that's a whole big different thing. See, we can say things about we can speak the truth, but if our life has no power in it, there's no credibility, there's no credit, there's no witness. There's no real witness. Do we really believe that God can change the person that's given to a certain sin? Do we really believe God can 180 them in another direction and save them? And cannot God save us? Right? Can he not empower our lives and live through our lives? Not strengthen us. See, that's the problem. That's the whole problem. God is not trying to strengthen. Here's what we think. Oh God, if you just make me stronger, I'll overcome this. Well, that's not what God wants to do. See, that's our thinking. His thinking, I want you to come to the end of yourself and be completely, totally dependent upon me for everything. That's the way it works. And boy, I tell you what, we got people rolling up their sleeves and getting busy for God. And you know what? It's not a sin to wait on God. Wait on him. Don't get in front of him. Wait upon him. And while you're waiting, look at his word and call upon him and ask him to guide you instead of coming up with our own ideas, the idea for the day. You know, this is the new thought, the new plan. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. And again, I want to remind us, where is the church today? Is it really turning the world upside down? No. So something's missing. Are we just about, do you know we can get 100 people here? Give me 2 Sundays, we'll get 100 people here. I'll advertise, man, we're going to cater from the best barbecue place. And we're gonna have all kinds of music for you. If you like rock and roll, if you like this, that, man, just come. Is that what we're about? Is that what we're trying to do? And boy, oh boy, listen, if your electric got shut off, we'll turn it back on for you. Well, bless God, you know, why did it get turned off in the first place? I'm not against helping people, but there are some people that really don't want help. There are some people that just don't want help. And I know good things sometimes happen, or bad things happen to good people sometimes. I know that happens. And it's not that we don't want to help people, but here's the main thing. Ready? Listen. As you look at the Word of God, what you're going to find is that God wants to glorify and manifest and reveal himself through your life and mine. That's the truth of the matter. If you do all these other things and neglect that, we're going to wind up short when we stand before the Lord. Our own personal... Now listen, when I say that, wind up short, I'm not talking about salvation. I've revealed this to you before. My heart's desire is that you and I hear from the lips of our Savior, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That I believe is my calling, what God's called me to. I'm convinced that if we see how God lives through us, if we understand the blessings of God that he's already given to us, if we will walk in them and take possession of those things and God be the witness that he wants to be in and through our lives, don't you think we'll hear, well done, that good and faithful servant? Was there any doubt in the mind of Paul that there was a crown laid up for him? There was no doubt. Would Paul tell you he was a perfect person? Not for a minute. But he understood deliverance from the Lord. Now watch this. Let's go back to our text just for a moment. Romans chapter 12. And I want to show you a couple of things. I want you to see, first of all, our witness. Look at verse 17. This is our witness. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of your best friends. Some people. Your co-workers. All men. Isn't that what it says? All men. So recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of... Now, is that a suggestion? No. It's not. But I do want you to understand this. When you realize that God does give us his commandments, but he also gives us instructions on how those commandments are fulfilled in our life. And you're going to see that here. So we see that's our witness. Now, here's verse 18 is a revelation of what lies in us. This can be really easily misread or misunderstood. Watch this verse. Ready? 18. If it be possible. Oh, it's not. We'll just nip it right there. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, there's not much lying in me. Right? Well, what is it that lies within us that we are to rely upon if it's not God? See, so it almost looks like, well, it's up to you. Well, it is up to you. In this manner, choose you this day. In the Old Testament, choose you this day. Do you think he just meant it for that day? No, the next day. Choose you this day. The next day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And every day. Isn't that what Paul said? Daily. I had to make this choice. So he says this. Ready? He says, give place to wrath. So there are some evil people in the world, are there not? That are hateful. But how are we to love them with the love of Christ? Well, not in our strength. But God, through the Holy Spirit, helps us to understand that we have been given grace that they have not seen yet or have rejected, and therefore they walk in the flesh. And he says this, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. So see, that throws out, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. He's not really throwing it out. He's letting you understand, live peaceably with all men, as much as lieth within you. Well, what is it that lies within you and I? But the Spirit of Christ. But we have the same mind. Let the mind of Christ dwell within you, is what the scriptures tell us. Allow it. So, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So the idea is not, you know, if it be possible. Well, it is possible in Christ. What things are impossible with man are possible with God. Question tonight. Do you have anything that's impossible in your life that God wants you to do? Well, guess what? The good news is they're all possible. They are. They're all possible with God. Not by ourselves and not in our strength. And if you're meeting with failure, ask yourself, am I trying to do this for God? Because God doesn't want you to try to do it. God wants to do it for us. So, verse 20. Therefore, he says, because he'll square everything away out in the end. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, remember, if it be possible, as much as lieth in, live peaceably. If thy enemy hunger, this is going a step further, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And that's something, listen, that's something that is needed. That's not a negative connotation there. And then he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And then I want you to see something very quickly, and we'll wrap all this up. You know, it's amazing when you look at this, that God is talking to his people and wanting them to understand where everything comes from and where our peace and joy is found at. He simplifies it. Verse 8 in chapter 13. Ready? Owe no man anything but to love one another. but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Did you see that? How important is love? Well, it fulfills the law. Did we not just read that? Let me ask that question again. How important is love? It fulfills the law. How important is love? It fulfills the law. So, how can we say that we love God, whom we've not seen, and hate our brother? Isn't that what the scriptures say? How can we walk that way and actually say we love God? You know what he's saying? The Spirit is absent from that testimony. That kind of a testimony has no witness, has no power to it. You can speak till you're red in the face, and it just fall over just like a lead balloon, as they say. So, he says this, when you owe no man but to love one another, and by the way, we need the Lord for that. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou, and that's in the mind too. Thou shalt not kill. Remember what the Lord said. If you're angry, you've already against somebody, you've already committed murder in your heart. If a man looks upon a woman and lusts after, he's already committed adultery in his heart. So he's saying, if you walk in the love of Christ, what is the love of Christ? He gave himself. He saw you, he saw me, and he saw our destiny without his sacrifice. And he said, I'll pay it. Wow. And you've heard it. If you were the only one, he would have come for you. Wow. And God just says, call upon me and let me show you my way. Seek me and you will find. Seek me. Seek me and not what you think and not how you feel. Because I promise you, listen, if Jesus went based upon feelings, you remember what his feelings were? Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. That's feelings. Because he was tempted, but nevertheless, not my will. That's love. But thine. That's love. Remember, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Nevertheless, not my will, because my will is marred. My will wants vengeance. My will wants to give you my 2 cents, and it's not worth that. And you've heard this. Any time a believer is throwing dirt, they're losing ground. And that's the case. Anytime a believer is throwing dirt in any circumstance at all, I don't care if you think you're doing it in the name of God, you're losing ground. If it's not love, it's got to be the love of Christ. God says, I don't need you to defend me. I'll take care of all of that at the end. Isn't that what he said? Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And by the way, the heart of Christ is, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to redeem it. We're not here to condemn the world. We know the problem of the world. We want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Very quickly, watch this. Verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the clear understanding of the grace of God. And he says that's what we owe. And the only way we can pay it is by the power of God. That's the demonstration of the grace of God. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I mean, you think I'm redundant. The Lord is really wanting us to get this. And I want you to see how he ties this all together. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. What is he talking about? When we see Jesus. He's speaking to saved believers. They've already have salvation, but they're talking about the culmination, the fulfillment, the fulfillment of this age that we've been placed in. He says, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. He's speaking to believers. And we say, well, I don't walk in darkness. I don't do anything evil. Is it outside of God's commands? Everything outside of God's commands, we must confess, is wrong. It's evil. It is evil. Is it not? Peter said, oh, Lord, be it far from thee. You ask the world to say, there's no evil in that. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Do you see how easy we could get thrown off? When we start looking to the things of men, the ideologies of men, when we supersede those things, we're not too far from Satan's camp. And how do we keep from that? Oh God, I need you. Because I am prone to go walk in that direction. I need you to intercept me. I need you to guide me. I need you to fill me. I need to experience and know that you are leading me. And God wants us to know that there's no mystery to it. It's just a simple trusting in the Lord that he will fulfill what he promised. God, you said you would do this. I'm going to call upon you. Now watch. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord. There's the answer. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He's speaking to believers. Be not overcome of evil. We need the Lord for that every day, in every moment of every day. And not to lean to our own understanding, but to be led by the rule of the Word of God, by His grace and by His Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to hunger and thirst after you and your righteousness. Because how important is it going to be to you when you look into the face of your Savior to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How important is that going? Is that to you right now? If it's not important, then my will prevail. My choice will be me. If the love of God is not compelling me, if the love of God is not motivating me, there's a problem. I'm not saying anything concerning salvation. That's a possibility. But my goodness, at least we could say I'm not where I should be. He talked to the Laodicean church. We're increased and filled with goods. Hey, listen. We are living, and I'm going to close. We are living in the Laodicean church age. Increased with goods, filled and increased with goods. You know how I know that? Watch this, ready? Everybody in this room has more than people in the 1800s as far as technology, conveniences. We are wealthier than the people as far as conveniences. If they looked at us with air conditioning, man, they'd say, you guys, how do you do that? Oh, watch this, it gets even better. Look, I'll turn this on, I can find out everything that's going on around the world. You don't really want to know, but I can find it out. Yeah, we're gonna go into town. That's 20 miles. Man, that's a whole day horse ride. Uh-uh. Nope, just jump in my vehicle that's sitting out front of my house. In front of my house. My daughter will get me for that, okay? In front of my house. When you consider what we have, I think we're more liable to the Lord. We have more conveniences in our day and age. And we ought to praise God about it. But what has that done for us? I'm sad to say, it's not drawn us closer to the Lord. And the devil knows it. And I'm not saying they're bad. But that's why the Word of God is saying, wake up. Wake up. Don't be fooled. Wake up. And seek the Lord. And experience God. Let Him empower your life, our lives, that we might truly be the witnesses. Listen, indeed, not just word. Indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, the wisdom that it brings. I pray, Lord, that we would call upon You, that we might experience what You've written in Your Word, that You might be glorified, and Lord, our lives empowered, and worship brought to our hearts and minds, and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and our minds. Bless Northwood Baptist Church. Bless the prayer time to follow. And we'll give You all the praise, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.